Good morning. One more time. Good morning. It's good to be here. And turn to the person on your left. Say, good to see you here. Today is our final series of this series called Mission. Say Mission. And today is actually 1st of Feb, right? January has passed. Let me just open up. 1st of Feb. January has gone by. It has gone by really fast. And today, 1st Feb, later on, we're going to take communion together. But this start of the year, 2026, has been, I feel there is such grace and excitement of what God is doing in our nation, in our church. We had a good prayer and fasting beginning of the year, and I trust that different one of you seek God, different one of you were able to dedicate 2026 unto God in that sense. And we started the year, we had our leadership convergence, whereby we gathered together to reconnect, to realign, and to see what God has for us in every nation, church, Malaysia. We had Pastor Benny over, we had Pastor Chris over from Indonesia and Philippines to be with us, to impart to us what God is doing. And we celebrated our first batch of Leadership 215 graduates. Okay, so we had about 20 over. This Leadership 215 is a biblical and theological equipping course for leaders, so that we can, besides on-the-job training, besides the different trainings that we do here, we have a biblical and theological standard of equipping. And this is made available by Every Nation Global, and it is the minimum biblical and theological requirement for any ordained ministers. Okay, as I announced 2 weeks ago, we have ordained our lead pastor in Every Nation, Setia Alam, Terrence, and Poi Ling, and they are here today. And as they walked in, okay, we were able to greet them, Pastor Terrence. Okay, but it was great, and I'm excited to see what God is doing in our midst. As we wrap up the series, if you look at these 4 weeks, the topic, it is really the grand narrative. It is really the heartbeat of God that started off with the Father's heart, that started off with God's desire to want to be with His people. So when sin happens, the mission of God begins as well, right? Pastor Eugene spoke about the son's sacrifice, and last week Pastor Teresa speak about the Spirit's power. Today I'm going to end by talking about the church mission, okay? The church mission. The church exists for the mission of God. Jesus loves His church, no doubt about it. We know how Jesus feels about His church. And today, a lot of times, it's very common, it's very normal for people to say, oh, I love Jesus, but I'm not really into the church thing. Or I love Jesus, but I'm not sure if I love this church or the church in general. But we know how Jesus feels about the church. We know that Jesus loved the church. We know Jesus gave His life for the church, which is His people. And therefore, we want to talk about the church mission today. The key text is found in John chapter 4. A bit of background, this is a story of Jesus' conversation with a Samaritan woman by the well, John chapter 4. So Jesus went through Samaria. Jesus didn't have to go through Samaria. In fact, He wanted to meet the Samaritan woman, and He wanted to minister to the Samaritan in that village. Okay, so as He was talking to that lady, the disciples went to the village and bought some food. And in that conversation with the lady, Jesus revealed Himself to be the Messiah. He revealed Himself that He is the one that is able to give the living water, whereby when she were to partake of this living water, she will never thirst again. She was in a fairly broken time of her life. She was living in shame, and Jesus called her out in love and in gentleness, and Jesus restored her and told her, if you were to drink this living water, you will never thirst again. Now, how many of you feel that, you know, in today's life, we oftentimes, we seek for different things to fill us, right? We seek for social activities, we seek for friendship, we seek for love and romance, we seek for attraction and hobbies and traveling and material things and achievement and career. We seek for all these things. Maybe we want something to fill us. But Jesus has made it very clear that unless you partake this living water, you know, you will always be thirsty for life. Okay, so unless you have this living relationship with God, you will never be satisfied. And this time round, her eyes were open. She knew she was the Messiah. The disciples came back. So disciples was wondering, why is Jesus talking to these Samaritan women? Because we Jews of the Jews do not associate ourselves with the Samaritan people. What more, Samaritan women? Okay, so in the culture, they don't associate with Samaritan and Samaritan women. So Jesus told them, he says, my will is to do the will of the Father who sent me. And then he tells them this verse to the disciples. So Jesus was speaking this verse to his disciples. By now, the Samaritan woman has already gone back to the village. She told the people in the village that there is this Messiah. And some of them are curious and some of them are making their way to meet Jesus. So when Jesus was having conversation with the disciples, he was referring to this crowd from Samaria who is making their way towards them. Okay, can we read this together? 1, 2, go. Do you not say they are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. God, I pray that you will speak to each and every one of us. Holy Spirit, would you open up our minds? Would you open up our ears and open up our hearts to hear your word and your truth? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we speak about the church mission, the church exists to fulfill God's mission. God has no plan B. Yes, God wants to be with us. Yes, God wants us to be gathered here every weekend and worship God and fellowship and pray for one another, encourage for one another. But God also wants us to look and to see the mission at hand. So as we read this verse, there are a couple of things that I think that we can learn from this passage. The first one is we want to go urgently. Say, go urgently. Say, urgently. You know, we understand urgency, okay? We understand urgency when it comes to things that is going to expire, right? Especially sometimes at home, we found food and snacks that has been there for a long time and we check the expiry date. They say, oh, the expiry date is next Friday. Okay, immediately, there's urgency to consume the food, okay? So immediately, we're like, okay, everybody take one, and let's consume the food. We understood urgency. But unfortunately, when it comes to the gospel, sometimes we may lack that urgency. What Jesus was saying that, don't say 4 months more, because in the Jewish Proverbs, there is this saying about 4 months more to take your time. So that's why Jesus says, don't say 4 months more. Jesus was counter their Jewish proverbs of taking the time. He says, don't say 4 months more. Look up, lift up. The harvest is ready. I recall maybe about last year, there was a church member who, he was a three-year-old Christian and God has powerfully worked in his life. He was an angry man and he was lost and he was putting up a strong front. And when God met him, God really changed him, transformed him inside out. But I got a call from him last year. He told me that his father was in a coma in Sarawak. And he asked me, what should I do? I says, are you on the way home? He says, yeah, I am in Miri right now. I do visit him in the hospital almost every day. I says, okay, this is what you do. I says, you pray with him, you hold his hand, you speak to him, if you can, you play worship songs throughout and you constantly just make that conversation, just speak to him, share the gospel with him, read the scripture with him and just talk to him and ask for any form of response, okay? Whether it's squeezing of hands, whether it's a nod, whether he says that, but I'm not sure if my dad could hear me. I say, it doesn't matter, just continue on. So he did that about a couple of days more and he came back to KL and I follow up with him every now and then and he went back again the following week. And then about 2 weeks later, he texts me, he says, Pastor, my dad has gone just about an hour ago. And I called him, I prayed with him, and before I put down the phone, he stopped me and said, Pastor, I have this question. Whether my dad has heard the gospel? And because he was in a coma for the last 2-3 weeks. I say, I don't know, right? I say, I don't know. But I do know that our God is merciful. I do know that our God is a God of grace and a God of love. We just have to trust the mercy, the justice, and the grace of God. Okay, so obviously he had that regret in him. I don't want us to have any regret. When we say go urgently, the gospel is only good news if it arrives on time. Isn't that true? The gospel is only good news if it reaches on time. There is the urgency. What Jesus was telling them, don't wait 4 months. Look up. Look up. The harvest is plentiful. And by now, their eyes is looking at the hundreds of Samaritan people as they make their way to Jesus. And later on, as you read John chapter 4, Jesus spent another 2 days there teaching and sharing. And scripture says that many came to believe from that Samaritan villages. Okay, don't say 4 months more. Number two, we want to go expectantly. Say, go expectantly. You know, as we dismiss from this service, as we scatter from this service, I want to believe that we are going expectantly, that God is sending us. We are not just trying to survive through life until next Sunday. We come and recharge again. We come and encourage again. Yes, of course, when we come to church, we get inspired, we get refreshed. That's great. But we are not going out there and trying to survive till the next Sunday when we come back together again. No, where we go, we are being sent out. We are being sent out expectantly. This whole January, I've been reading the book of Acts, and I am captured by Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 11 when persecution broke out, when the first martyr in the church, at that time, the church was pretty new. It's only about 1 year new since Jesus Christ ascended to heaven. So the church was gathering in Jerusalem. And suddenly a persecution broke out because Elder Stephen is being martyred. Well, havoc break loose, right? Saul was kicking doors to doors, going house to house, dragging men and women and putting them into prison. And then it says that the disciples scattered, and as they scattered, they preached the word wherever they go. And the Greek word scatter here, there are two ancient Greek words there is for the word scatter. One is to scatter and disappear. Okay, it's kind of like when you scatter ashes into the sea, it scatters and it disappears. The second Greek word used is like you scatter seeds to plant. So that word, Greek word, scatter seeds to plant, is being used to say that the disciples, as they scatter, they didn't scatter and keep quiet. They didn't scatter and keep a low profile, but they scatter and they preach the word of God. 10 years goes by and you reach Acts chapter 11. You can see that those people who scatter from the persecution, and suddenly you have community of believers in Antioch, in Cyrene, and in Cyprus, all this way. Because why? Because the disciples, as they scatter, they are scattering in faith, they are scattering in the spirit, and they, as they go, they are expectant that God will work as they preach the word, as they share the gospel. What is the word that they preach at that time? There was no New Testament yet, right? So their message was very simple. Jesus Christ rose again. Our sins are forgiven. Repent and believe that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Messiah that we have been waiting for. That's their message at that time. And they went, as they preached the gospel, they expect God to work. And sometimes we may feel that nothing is happening when we share the word, when we share our testimony. We may feel that nothing is happening. But John 4 says sometimes we sow, sometimes we reap. Joel mentioned about he was working right now, and I just did a count. I have been a bivocational pastor for maybe about 15, 16 years, and being a full-time pastor maybe about 2 years. And I thought about the different seed planting that I did as I go to the office every single day. Yes, there are tough times. And how many times I would have prayed, God, Holy Spirit, would you empower me? Would you give me the wisdom for the upcoming difficult conversation? Would you give me the wisdom for a very difficult meeting that I'm going to have today? I prayed, I prayed, I prayed. But I go expectantly that God will work. God will work. And just about 2 weeks ago, I received a call from one of my ex-colleagues, non-Christian. Suddenly, out of the blue, texts me, says, Sean, I need to meet you urgently. Are you available? I'm facing some crisis that I will need wisdom, and I cannot think of anyone else but you. And I thought about it. I've left the company for 2 years. Right? Occasionally, we keep in touch. But I thought about the seed sown over the years that, you know, we have worked together. We have, hopefully, I've been kind to him, and hopefully, I've been able to encourage him. And over the years, because of, as we go, right, we're expecting that God will use us to sow the seed so that when come time for harvest, we will be there as well. Maybe we are sowing the seeds, but other people is harvesting, and that's okay as well, right? I shared before, I reminded of the story of the young Billy Graham at the age of 14 years old. Two teenagers, they saw a crusade, they saw a big, you know, crusade going on, and they went in and it was full. They have no place to sit, and they turned and walked away. And this usher saw these two boys and immediately ran after them and called them back to the place, to the tent, and says, "Stay here, I'm going to find two seats for you." And the usher found the two seats for that boy, and not knowing that the boy would give his life to Jesus Christ on that night. And later on, one of them is Billy Graham, and one of them is Billy Graham's friend who helps him organize all the crusades all around as Billy Graham traveled. So I believe that the usher, as he served expectantly. And sometimes we may feel that whatever we do doesn't bear fruit. But in the spiritual, okay, in the spiritual, nothing goes to waste. Amen. I come across this story of an American missionary by the name of Adoniram and a wife, Ann Judson, in the 1700s and 1800s. So he felt called to bring the gospel to the nation of Myanmar, Burma. And he felt challenged with the gospel that Jesus died for the world, and he needs to bring the gospel to Myanmar. So as he launched off, they only have the promises of God and the commandment of God to sustain them. So as they sail from the U.S., America, they have to pass by India. So they stopped there for a couple of months. They met William Carey to be mentored by him as a missionary. And as they set off from India to Burma, difficult challenges hit them. Number one, the wife was pregnant at the time and their delivery nurse died on board. Okay? And while they were still traveling to Burma, at that time they were in ships, and it takes a long time to travel around the world. She delivered a stillborn while they were still on the sea. And as they reached Burma, the place was flooding, the place was with political unrest and chaos, and they had no help. Their first support, their first letter, their first funding came 2 years after, when one of his friends formed a mission society and decided to appoint them as their first missionary. This was 2 years after they set foot in Myanmar. So for the first 6 years, guess how many disciples they made? Zero. Can you imagine how discouraging is that? In the natural, nothing seems to be happening. But that 6 years, he immediately started doing translation work. Okay, I know Niram, he is a language, he has a gift of language, he knew a few languages. So immediately when he arrived, he started learning the language, he started translate the Gospel of Matthew to Burmese. And in that 6 years, he was able to fully complete the translation of the Bible to Burmese language. Subsequently, he stayed there for 37 years, almost 40 years in Burma, and he only went back once in that 40 years to his home in America. But guess what? The first 6 years, zero disciples made. But as it was here, as it was written in mission literature and journal, in that 40 years, he planted 100 over churches, and he lead over 8,000 people to Christ. Adoniram Judson, expectantly. You know, sometimes in the natural, nothing seems to be happening. You may feel that, okay, I go to my office, I go to my neighbors, I go to my relatives, and I shared, I prayed, but nothing seemed to be happening. But it's okay. We're expecting God to work in the spiritual realm. That one day, when the harvest is ready, you know, when you plant a fruit tree, we know that sometimes it's too early to harvest the fruit, right? it will be unripe. Sometimes we see that, okay, it's just about ripe, and over time you know when exactly it is that, oh, this fruit is just about ripe, it's just about to fall. I was told that that is the best time to harvest that fruit, because by the time it falls, it's overripe and it's no longer as good. So expect God to work. Number three, we go collectively. Say collectively. The best thing is that we get to do this together. Okay, we have our fellow life group members, we have our fellow leaders, we have our fellow Christian in the workplace from the different churches, that we can go collectively. I always tell people that in the workplace, I used to, you know, we learn about our 3I lifestyle. Pastor Teresa spoke about include, invest, invite. I will always try to include someone new for lunch. And it's easy for us to have lunch with the same two people for the last 5 years. Right? We gather together, we gossip about our bosses. It's the same thing. Okay? But oftentimes when I meet someone in a different business meeting, I say, hey, you know, you're new here. I heard that you love football as well. Why don't we catch lunch one of these days? And next week I'll follow up. Hey, are you free for lunch next Tuesday? And I'll just do that just to include people. I have to eat lunch anyway, right? It's as simple as going to include people in your life. Over the last 12 months, there is a new family that my kids get to know close. The younger two got to know another family in our taman. And they got to you know, play in the park. They go to each other's house. They came over to my house. Our kids go to their house. And it's just being inclusive. And over time, we go out for simple meals in the neighborhood. And we got to share. Right? I got to talk to the husband. The wife got to talk to my wife about just different things in life, about kids, about, you know, parenting, about work, and just different things. And Christmas came, and we were able to invite them to church. And this year, out of the blue, the mom just texted my wife, said, hey, can we go? We are not a Christian. Can I bring the kids to check out the kids' church that you were talking about? It's just about going and expecting God to work. Amen? John 20. Peace be with you as the Father sent me, even so I am sending you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is sending you. God is sending me and us as well. The church mission. God loved the church. He gave His life for the church. In fact, He calls the church His bride. Revelation 21. That as a bride of Christ, we are to dress beautifully in expectant for Him to come and receive us so that He can be with us. While in the meantime, there is no perfect church. And that's why in Ephesians 5, it says that God loved the church, gave His life for the church, and He says He will purify, He will clean, and He will purify with the Word and with the Spirit. Why? We are all work in progress. Right? We are all work in progress. In the meantime, while waiting for the day that Christ will come, we are all work in progress, but it doesn't stop God from using the church to fulfill His mission. He says that so that through the church, not through the angels, not through spirits, and not through nature, but through the church, which is all of us, the manifold wisdom of God may be now made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly place. Yeah. In the heavenly place. You know, the church mission is for us to go together. Go urgently, go expectantly. Sorry. So where do we go? Where do we go? Well, we go to the campuses. We believe that God has called us, every nation, to continuously reach the next generation. That's why we have Every Nation Sunway in campus, just about 5 minutes drive away, that every Friday now, 70, 80 over students are meeting there, encountering God, learning the Word of God. That's why we go to the campuses, in the different campuses, wherever we are. We want to go to the community. We have the companion class that we are doing, and we need volunteers. We want to go to community. Some of you, maybe you're a business owner that God has put in your heart to do some form of community work, some CSR work on yourself, or you can partner with us, or you can, whatever God has led you to. We want to go to the community. We want to go to the commerce, to the marketplace. We want to go to the church plant. Some of these church lists down, they are relatively new. They are relatively in need of volunteers. And I want to encourage you, If you are sitting here, you're not serving, you're not involved with anything, maybe you pray that God will drop in your heart a burden to visit and build some of these church plants in Setialam, in Rimbayu, in KLCC, in Setapa. And not just to visit, but to build together, to serve in one of the ministry and to bring people there and to engage and to talk to visitors. I want to encourage you. We want to go. Go to the church plant. Pastor Benny was here 2 weeks ago, right? So I had an opportunity to meet him for coffee after the Sunday service. And I was asking him, Pastor Benny, how did you started Every Nation Surabaya? You've been there for, 35, 36 years. How did it first started? He says, oh, you know what, Sean? I wasn't planning to start a church in Surabaya. He says he graduated. He got saved in the U.S. In a Every Nation, pre-Every Nation campus ministry. He got saved. He came back to Jakarta. He was working in a bank. 2 years working in a bank. He was serving as an usher in Jakarta church. And he wasn't a leader. And he felt called to go back to his hometown, which is Surabaya, to be with his family. So he asked for a transfer, internal transfer for his bank, American bank, transferred him to Surabaya. And because he got saved when he was a campus student, he was probably now 24 years old. He says, okay, I just need to continue to make disciples. And because I'm 24 years old, then therefore the most effective group of people that I want to reach out to is campus student. So he gathered some campus students. It was two, three other campus students that he knew. And he started to disciple them. He started to meet them weekly and to pray with them and to read the Bible. And he just continued to do that for 2 years. And in that 2 years, the 2-3 students gathered becomes 40 students. And by now, he says he didn't know what else to do because he has done all the foundational materials, our pre-1-to-1. He has done all of those, and he don't know what else to do. So he calls his pastor in Jakarta. He says, Pastor, we have 40 people right now in our groups, and most of them are campus students. Could you send a pastor here? And the pastor in Jakarta said, okay, we will send a pastor. They identify a candidate, and it didn't fall through. The candidate wasn't able to go to Surabaya. Never mind. Second candidate. The pastor told Pastor Benny, don't worry, we found another candidate. Okay? Hang on tight. For whatever reason, the second candidate, it also did not fall through. It did not make its way to Surabaya. So the Jakarta pastor called Benny. By this time, he's 26, 27 years old. He says, Benny, I think you're it. I think you're it. Okay? You have led the people for 2 years and you reach out to them and you disciple them. He says, but I have no training, okay? I have no training. I don't know what else to do. I finished all the foundational materials. So I asked Pastor Benny, so what did you do? This was the days even before internet, before YouTube, before podcasts, before anything. So he says, well, he has finished all the foundational materials. So he will go to a church and he will listen to the message and he will take down notes. And the next week, he will preach the same message to his group of people. And once a month, the pastor from Jakarta will take a flight and minister and to train and equip them once a month, but it's only once a month. And he continued to do so for many years. And right now, the church in Surabaya has grown. It's running 3 services now. He has planted 2 churches now, and they are looking to plant another one. They have a community ministry that is going on. Well, guess what? It's all because we were willing to go. Pastor Benny was willing to go, not train. Okay, he was an usher in Jakarta. He wasn't a leader. But as he just go and make disciples. The Holy Spirit was with him. He went with faith. He expected God to work, and God did work. He was just faithful. He was just faithful. And that's exactly what happens in the book of Acts as well. Wherever the disciples went, they preached the gospel. And before you know it, hey, there's a community there. And they called Jerusalem the HQ. And they sent Barnabas to go and check it out. Okay, so that is wherever they went, they preached the gospel. Wherever they went, they make disciples. We go to the cities, we go to the nations. You know, some of you, maybe on a weekend you are here. And maybe during the weekdays, maybe you work in Seremban, maybe you work in PD, or maybe you work somewhere else. Or maybe God will send you to the different nation for your work for a couple of months at its time. It is not in vain that God has placed you for you to continue to bring the gospel, to go, to minister, and to see where God will bring you as long as we are open and expectant God to work. The Holy Spirit is with us. That's what Matthew 28 promises, right? And I am with you always to the end of age. God is with us as we obey Him to make disciples. It doesn't matter whether you're a homemaker, you're a retiree, engineer, a teacher, a lawyer, a business person, God will use you. A couple of things that we want to share as a church. We put together a 10-day mission trip. This is for some of you who want to experience a 10-day mission. Taiwan is Mandarin-speaking mission trip. All the details, expected budget, expected time is in that QR code. We have Joshua Siping leading a team to Mongolia. We have Tajikistan next week. Pastor Shanam will be preaching here. We have Japan as well, working closely with Joel to send a team there. So different mission trip has different ministry focus. If you want to experience a 10-day mission, right? Yeah, you can experience that. As I bring this to a close, again, this is not a memory verse, but it's a mission for life. A lot of times we ask, God, what is my purpose? Well, this is our purpose. That as God's people, we are called to bring good news to those who have yet to hear whatever vocation that God has called you to be. Even though right now I'm a so-called full-time pastor, but I have always felt that I have always been a full-time pastor all these years, throughout my corporate working years. And I would tell people, well, I'm not part-time. I'm not a part-time husband, right? I can't go to my wife and say, oh, you know, I'm only a, since I'm at home 8 hours a day, so I'm a one-third husband. Okay, I'm a one-third father. Of course not. I'm a full-time husband. I'm a full-time father. Well, I'm a full-time employee, but I'm also a full-time pastor, even though I'm a full-time pastor volunteer, but I've always considered full-time, part-time for me, it doesn't have that line. All of us are called to make disciples. Whether you're a pastor, a leader, a disciple, a Christian, all of us, we are called to make disciples. So as a church, we also want to equip you to go make. We did not run this Go Make for maybe about 2 years. And this is open to anyone who desires to be equipped for you to share your faith more effectively. Okay, myself and a few other pastors, we're going to run this session. It's going to be 8th of March. So we will disseminate this through the live group. So if you want to be refreshed, if you want to be equipped on daily evangelism, this is not going to be like the intellectual debate kind of training. It's not that. It's not apologetics, but it's lifestyle evangelism. Okay, it is lifestyle discipleship. The Great Commission is not taught, it is caught. The Great Commission, it is a lifestyle. It is not just an event. God has put people around you that only you can reach them. Today, before I pray for us, I want to pray for a breakout of the spirit of evangelism in our midst later on. But as we stand to our feet, we're going to take communion later. But I want to worship God. I want to invite God's presence to speak to us. And this song speaks about, we speak Jesus. In our broken world outside, marriages are broken, stress, depression, and anxiety at all-time high. The only answer is Jesus. Money doesn't solve the problems. Answer is Jesus.